Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 6, 2022. A poem that gives an idea about the upper world. It is utterly distanced from the infinity, farther from all the worlds. That is why it is so corporeal and utterly materialized, although it is the middle point inside all the circles. Ari, the Tree of Life. I translated this poem of the Ari, which begins the book The Tree of Life, from Hebrew into Russian about 45 years ago to introduce people to it and draw their attention to how a Kabbalist in the 16th century writes about the way he feels the spiritual nature. Moreover, this is not a literal translation, but my adaptation of what I then understood in the Ari's book. The meaning, however, is completely preserved. Question. How does one use this poem for spiritual advancement? Answer, I have hardly heard any feedback from anyone. Question, have you studied this poem with your teacher or with someone else? Answer, no. Never and with no one. Everything is just according to my own ideas, feelings, and perceptions. Question, why? After all, this is a part of the book The Tree of Life, Eitz Haim. Answer, yes, this is the beginning of the most central book on Kabbalah after the book of Zohar. But we are not studying the Tree of Life of the Ari itself, but a commentary on this book, which is called the Study of the Ten Sefirot. Question, would you recommend beginners read this poem for a general impression? Answer, I think that this poem, in general, gives some idea about the upper world, it attracts people. I would recommend introducing it into the Kabbalah teaching program. Without us feeling some of its fragments, we cannot advance. This gaping emptiness sometimes is revealed in us, and due to the feeling of spiritual hunger, we are already rushing toward the goal. Believe me, it is necessary. Otherwise, we will not budge. After all, we are egoists. In order not to remain in the vacuum, namely to fool ourselves, we need to feel that we are in the vacuum. Good luck. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, July 5, 2022. Water is a force that enlivens nature. Question. Water, according to some researchers, can be dead water or living water. That is, it can have a positive effect on the body if it contains positive information, or it can also be dead if it is directed at hatred, destruction, or negative emotions. Previously, researchers thought that it depended only on the water's chemical composition. Living water is an alkaline environment, dead water is an acidic one. However, recent research in the field of water and the discovery of the so-called information level in it forced researchers to go further. They came to this by comparing water with a blank sheet of paper, which can change under any influence. Why is a blank sheet quality embedded in the water? Answer, it is because water is the basis of our entire world and our entire life. It can change according to what it comes into contact with, and at the same time, it is a common carrier of either positive or negative information. Comment. Some researchers have established that molecules in water form clusters, regular geometric shapes in the form of five so-called platonic solids. Since platonic solids exist in all of the universe, water, by resonating with a vibrational sample of the same shape, can receive information and give it back again. My response, water represents a certain force that enlivens, transfers, grows, creates, and therefore has such information. Naturally, this information is unrelated to the fact that water is in some reservoirs or pipes, cisterns, or tanks. Water inside the body or outside of it is no longer water but a force. Speaking about the quality of water, about its essence, we can say that the entire universe is filled with this force, which is called water conventionally, but it is H2O. This refers to a special force that holds and enlivens all of nature. Even any inorganic nature should still consist of some rudiments of this information. From Cab TV's Close Up. The Secret of Life, July 13, 2011. Daily life of a Kabbalist? Question. You meet a great number of people. How much time do you need to make contact with the person you are talking to? Answer. Practically, I do not make contact with anyone. As a rule, the people I am talking to are my students with whom I discuss not only the issues they are interested in, but also the general issues of our enterprise, the dissemination of Kabbalah in the world, and so on. I do not need to find special contact with them, I just need to understand what they are talking about. I have a very narrow circle of people with whom I communicate. Mainly our communication is that they ask for my opinion. In addition, I receive a selection of the most interesting materials from scientific or other sites. I take extracts from these materials, write my comment on them, and insert them into the blog. My blog is designed for a wide range of readers. Of course, Kabbalah or what leads to Kabbalah and why we need it is covered there. But, in general, it is quite simple. It provides material on economics, politics, and teaching so that a person who enters it will receive general information as well. My students who are engaged in the dissemination of Kabbalah or the methodology of integral education in all types of media also take material from there or simply read them to broaden their horizons. Blogging does not take much time a day, but still, I do it systematically. In addition to working on Kabbalistic materials, processing and preparation them, I spend the rest of the time mainly shooting programs in our studio. They take 3 hours a day, in addition to the lesson. This is how my time passes. I practically do not communicate with anyone else, I do not feel the need for it. What for? What does it give? Once upon a time, I engaged in receiving visitors. Dozens of people came to me every day with their problems. I very rarely leave the house, go somewhere, or do something outside my office. This is my character, I have no need for it. Also, knowing in advance that this world, in principle, is a theater and vanity, I am not drawn to it, it distracts me. I have always lived and live now within myself, I am this kind of a person initially, even before Kabbalah. From Cab TV's I got a call. Leitman's contacts February 7, 2013. Phantom pain. Comment. In humans there is a phenomenon called phantom pain. For example, after a person loses a limb, it hurts as if it's still there or someone may have had a tooth removed many years ago, but the pain does not go away. Much like phantom pain or phantom death, something similar can occur after the removal of the embryo from the mother's womb. There are cases in which the time came for the birth of an already non-existent child and women still felt contractions. My response, this happens because nothing is lost in nature. Therefore, even if some changes are observed in the external appearance, meaning, in our egoistic perceptions, nothing happens inside. The same constant properties, constant phenomena, and constant objects, remain connected together in an integral network. Nothing escapes, nothing moves. And if some changes occur in relation to our external perception, for example, the absence of a leg or arm, this does not mean that in fact they do not exist. We just can't use them in an egoistic way. In our egoistic world, we cannot use these desires that at the lowest level of perception turn into some apparent biological object, that is, an arm or a leg. This desire goes to another, more hidden area, but it exists, therefore, such pains are quite natural. From Cab TV's close-up. Human Genome July 17, 2011.